In this message series, we'll be taking a look at ourselves on the inside. Because a key component of being a believer in Christ, a follower of Christ, is serving God in ministry. You know, the Bible teaches that God's intent is that every follower of Christ be made over into the image of Christ, that we become more and more like Jesus Christ every day. So if we're to be like Christ, I want to ask you a question. Can you imagine any scenario in which Jesus Christ is not involved in ministry? Can you imagine any situation? Can you imagine a Jesus who's not involved in ministry? Of course not, because that was his life. So if God intends for us to be like Christ, how is it we think we can be like Christ and not be serving God in ministry? Now, I want to make a clarification here, because often when we begin talking about being in ministry, what we first go to, our first thoughts of, well, he's a pastor. Pastors are in ministry, and missionaries are in ministry. That's an unfortunate misuse of terms in the Bible, because the Bible teaches that a pastor is called to lead God's people in ministry. See, the Bible teaches that every member of the body of Christ is called to ministry, to service and ministry for God. The Bible has no concept of a believer in Christ who is not involved in ministry. And when occasionally that would happen, that's why we have certain passages in the Scripture where the Apostle Paul, for example, is teaching about spiritual gifts or admonishing people to be involved in ministry, because God intends and God expects for every born-again believer in Christ to be serving him in ministry in the kingdom of God. So that's where we want to get started. We want to get started understanding how that works for us. Because I believe one of the reasons that many of us are not involved in service and ministry and the body of Christ, we're not serving God, is we don't know what that looks like for us. We don't know how to do that. We don't know where we should be serving. We're just not sure how that works. This past July, in Copenhagen, Denmark, there was the annual World Santa Claus Congress. Santas from all over the world came together in Copenhagen for their annual session, their annual meeting. Now, if they all arrived together in Copenhagen, how do you suppose they looked? They looked like Santa Claus, right? When we think of Santa Claus, can you imagine hundreds of people in one place in Copenhagen in their red suits and their white beards and their black boots and everybody saying ho, ho, ho and wearing little round spectacles? So that's what we think of when we think of Santa Claus. But as part of the Santa training in Copenhagen, they took a session on what it really means to be Santa Claus, what's important about being Santa. A Santa Claus from Canada put it this way. He said a successful Santa is not just about costumes and clothes. He said you have to have Christmas in your heart. You have to have the love of children and caring and giving in your heart. It's not something you can make up. It has to be in you, and people know it and they can see it. Now, in a similar way, we think often of being a Christian of what people perceive from the outside, that being a Christian is showing up, it's being religious, it's how we dress, it's how we perform, especially on Sunday mornings. But the Bible teaches that God makes us into the image of Christ from the inside out, and one of the key components of that is serving him in ministry, and that God equips us spiritually inside to serve him in his kingdom. That's what we're going to explore in this series, how God has shaped you, how God has equipped you, how God has prepared you to serve him in his kingdom. Because God expects every born-again believer to serve him in his ministry in the kingdom of God. That includes understanding our spiritual gifts. It includes understanding our shape for ministry. So in this series, we're going to go as deep as we can. Now, in this and the next few Sundays, we're really only going to scratch the surface on this topic, so we want to help you out to go deeper, to understand better your shape for ministry. And we're providing on our website documents and materials that you can access and participate in to help you. For example, we're going to have on our website a spiritual gift survey that you can go on there and you can access that. That'll help you understand your spiritual gifts. We'll have materials in there to help you understand better your shape for ministry. So I want to encourage you in the time of this series, not just to come every Sunday and sit. Well, I want you to do that. Come and sit and participate. But also, when you get home, go online, look at these things and participate. Grow deeper. Learn more about your spiritual gifts and your shape for ministry. The key is to understand how God has made you. That God has made you to serve in ministry in a particular way. He has designed you for ministry, and He has a place He wants you to serve. This series has one foundation and one motivation. So let me talk first about the foundation of this ministry. It's very simple. It's the biblical teaching that God has shaped every one of us to be who we are. God has shaped every one of us to be who we are, and that includes how and where we serve in ministry. This morning, we're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture. So if you have your Bible, look first with me at Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 13. The Bible says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." God knows you so well. God formed you and God shaped you. God loves you. You are wonderfully made by your Creator. What a beautiful passage. I believe one of the reasons often we are not serving in ministry is because just we don't believe we can. We think that that's for other people, more experienced people, more spiritual people, better people. But as we just read, God has formed you. God has wonderfully made you. God knows you, and God wants you to serve in ministry. The foundation for this series is that to know who you are in Christ is to be in God's will, is to know God's best for you. The foundation is to understand that God has shaped you and formed you for ministry. I said there was one foundation, there's one motivation. The motivation for this series is very simple, that each one of us would participate in ministry with God by knowing who it is God has designed us to be. Now understand, this is not a series that parrots things like what Disney would say. Disney would say, you can be anybody you want to be. Well, actually, that's not true. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Even better, the Bible teaches you can be who God designed you to be. You can be the person God created you to be if you'll surrender to Him and get in sync with His shape for you. Who you are in Christ matters much more than who you and I want to be in the world. And that's what God wants you to know and discover and experience. God expects every believer to serve in ministry. So let's get started. God has shaped you for ministry. God has shaped you for ministry. Now you might be wondering this morning, why does that matter to me? Why does it matter to me? Why should I care about this? I want to explore that this morning for a few minutes with two truths and one question. Two truths and one question. So look with me at the first truth this morning. It's very simple. We've already said it a few times. God shapes you. God shapes you. In the Bible, we meet God for the very first time when the Bible opens in the book of Genesis. And God introduces Himself. Now, when you and I introduce ourselves to someone, we tell them the thing that matters most to us. The first thing up front is our name. You put your hand out to shake hands, you introduce yourself, you say your name. I did that a few times this morning. When God introduces Himself, the first thing He tells us about Himself is that He is Creator. In the beginning, God created. The opening words of the Bible, of everything else God could have said to introduce Himself, He wanted to be sure that we understood that forever and always He is Creator. Not a Creator, He's Creator, the Creator, our Creator. That's how we know God first and foremost, and that's how we know God throughout the Bible and in the experience of our lives. Still have your Bible open. Look at the book of Job and chapter 10. The book of Job and chapter 10. Verse 8 begins this way. Job chapter 10 and verse 8. your hands shaped and formed me. Now that sentence by itself is powerful. It tells me that God has an intimate interest in who I am. He is my creator and did not create from afar. God created me personally. His hands shaped and formed me. Move forward just a bit to the book of Isaiah and find chapter 49 and verse 5. Isaiah 49 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength." Isaiah says, God formed me to be his servant. God made me. God created me. That's what makes everything else make sense, is that I have a creator and he created me. If we understand that, then we understand better who we are. And understanding who we are means that we are new creatures in Christ and we are designed to serve our God. In this series, we're going to examine five key components that go into God's shape for you. And we'll look at each of these in this series starting next week. They all form an acronym, the word SHAPE, when you put them together. Now, I'm borrowing this, as many pastors have, because for many years, this has been a great way to illustrate and describe the way that God made us. It began with Pastor Rick Warren in California several years ago. But SHAPE is a beautiful way to understand that God shapes us and how he does that. So let me briefly mention these five components that we'll be looking at over the next few weeks. First of all is your spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gifts. The Bible teaches that when you were born again in Christ, God gave you one or more spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit of God gave this to you. Now this is different from a natural talent. You received a natural talent at your first birth because that's part of God's created order. God's creative nature gives us natural talents. But when a person is born again in Christ, they receive a spiritual gift from God, from the Holy Spirit, and that spiritual gift has one purpose. It is to serve God's kingdom. It is to be applied in God's kingdom. That's why it's so important we know and understand what that spiritual gift is, because that's the main way God wants us to serve him in his kingdom, is by exercising our spiritual gift. So first, your spiritual gift. The second part of your shape is your heart. By this I mean your passion. We would say put your heart into it. What do you put your heart into? What gets you excited? What area of ministry do you really light up about? Sometimes we think that we should not enjoy serving God in ministry. That it's only real religion if we look burdened and in despair. Isn't it good to know that God actually wants you to enjoy serving him in ministry? Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You know, I believe with all my heart the Apostle Paul always enjoyed, loved his ministry. Shipwrecks, beatings, stonings, imprisonment, but he still had a heart for it. Still had a passion for it. First, your spiritual gifts. Second, your heart. Third, your abilities. Your abilities. Simply put, what are you able to do that you could apply to ministry? The fourth part of your shape is your personality. God made you who you are, one of a kind. And within that personality, God has designed you and wired you for ministry in his kingdom. And then last are your experiences. Your experiences. God can take our past and our present. He can take our experiences and help us apply those to ministry in his kingdom. The Apostle Paul once said that when we go through trials and difficulties, that enables us to minister to people who are going through trials and difficulties of the same kind. A part of your shape is what you've been through. It's who you are. It's your experiences in life. And God can use that in ministry. God wants to use that to advance his kingdom. So the first truth to understand is that God shapes you. God knows who you are. God shapes you. And in that, God is preparing you for ministry. The second truth is that God shapes you for a purpose. God shapes you for a purpose. The key to God's shape for you, God's design for you, is that he has designed you for a purpose. He can take that whole package, your past, your experiences, everything, and you can utilize that in ministry in ways we could never do that for ourselves. But God can take that and God can use that. If you're still in the book of Isaiah, look at chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And then verse 7. Isaiah 43, verse 7. God speaking through the prophet Isaiah says, "Everyone called by my name and created for my glory, I have formed him. Indeed, I have made him." Now look at verse 21. "The people I formed for myself will declare my praise." See, God says one way you know that someone is surrendered in ministry is that they are serving him for a purpose, and the primary purpose is that it brings glory to him. When we are actively serving God in ministry, it points the finger at God, it honors God, it glorifies him, and our very actions in ministry declare praise of his name. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. God says to the prophet, "I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." God tells Jeremiah up front, "Your ministry began when I made you. I have an intention for you all along." How we learn that intention, how we learn that purpose, is by surrendering to God, by saying, "God, whatever you want me to do, whatever my shape is, that's what I want to apply to ministry." But God has a purpose for every one of us in the way he shaped us and designed us. He has a place for us to plug in ministry. But our shape and our life is only understood in relationship to God. The life we try to live all by ourselves, all on our own, especially before we come to Christ, is often muddy and confusing and distracting. Because we don't know who we really are until we're born again in Christ, we give our lives to Christ, then we find out how he's designed us, what he's wired us for, what God created us for. We find out he wants us to be more like Jesus, and he wants us to express our gifts and our personality in ministry to him. So God shapes us for a purpose. He's designed us for ministry. So those are two truths. Let's consider one question this morning. Knowing those two truths, how should you respond? Knowing those two truths, how should you respond? Because how we respond is what truly matters. If we're to be with God and his design for ministry, how do we respond, understanding he has shaped us for ministry? I want to consider with you this morning three proper biblical responses to an understanding that God has shaped you for ministry. God has shaped you for ministry. The first one is to confirm your salvation. To confirm your salvation. Many times we think of service in ministry as good works for God. And many people confuse what the Bible teaches and adopt the notion that we participate in good works for God to please God. Because we hope by pleasing God, we can earn our salvation. We think that by doing good works, we are pleasing God and we can earn our salvation. But understand, we are not talking about service in ministry. We're not talking about doing good works and good things and serving God in ministry to get us saved. We don't do that to get us saved. We do that because we are saved. We do that because we are born again in Christ, and as we read a moment ago, our service to God declares his praises, it honors him, it glorifies him, and that's how God has chosen to impact the world for Christ. Believers participating in ministry. One of my favorite verses to illustrate this is in Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul says this, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." Right there, the apostle describes salvation as a gift of God. It is by grace through faith and a gift of God that you and I are saved. Everybody's saved the same way, and no one is saved by their good works. Why? Paul says, so nobody can boast. Nobody gets to say, I was so good, God did not have to die on the cross for me. Jesus did not have to die on the cross for me. I'm the exception to the rule. Sorry, there are no exceptions. We are sinners in need of a Savior, every one of us. And every one of us cannot earn our salvation. There's no one in this room, there's no one in this state, there's no one in this nation, there's no one in this world that is good enough for God to earn his or her salvation. So Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. God raised him from the grave. To us, he extends the opportunity for eternal life. And for those who will say yes and trust Christ, he saves us by grace through our faith. And we're all saved the same way. Verse 10 explains what happens next. Verse 10 says, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. Paul says, listen, born-again believer, those of you who are saved by grace through faith, now you get to participate in the great work that God prepared in advance for you to do. See, all that time you thought you were doing good works to please God and get saved, you were just getting tired. It didn't make any difference in your spiritual condition. It just made you religious and made you tired. But when you came to Christ and you were saved by grace through faith, God launched you on the expedition of doing the great work of God that he intended all along for you to do. He just wants you to say yes every step of the way, and he's got a journey. The way Paul puts it, he's got footsteps for you to walk in that he planned in advance for you to do. If you want to live your shape for ministry, first and foremost, confirm your salvation. Please be sure you know that you are saved. Stop trying to earn it. Turn to Christ. Plead for forgiveness. And ask Jesus Christ to save you. By faith, his grace, and he will save you. So first, confirm your salvation. Then second, the second proper response is to accept your shape. To accept your shape. There is a part of us, even when we're born again, even when we're saved, there's a part of us that still wants to say to God, look how good I am. I know how to do this. Let me pick what I want to do, God, and you'll be so surprised. You'll go, wow, I never thought of that. Look at what Paul says. Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. Paul says, but who are you, a mere man, to talk back to God? Will what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? That is, how dare we say to our Creator, I can do a better job with me than you? It's time to accept that God has a place for you in ministry, that God has something for you to do. Let me tell you a way to know. If you are exercising your gifts, you're doing your best to serve God in ministry, let me tell you a way to know that you might not be plugged into your shape and where God wants you. It's very simple. It's harder work than it should be. It's not liberating. It's not fun. It wears you out. Now, we're all going to get tired doing God's work and doing ministry, but it's a good kind of tired when you're on pace with God. But if you're working hard to make it work, if you're working hard to make it happen, take a step back and say, God, am I fulfilling your shape for me, or am I doing what I want to do? When God first called me to ministry, and I surrendered to God's call to full-time ministry, I was in college, I knew right away what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to be a traveling evangelist. Mainly because I loved the idea. But I loved to win people to Christ. At the time, I was preaching in youth revivals in different places in North Carolina. I just loved that. I thought, God, that must be what you want me to do. Well, the first step for God was for me to surrender to what he wanted. And then step by step along the way on the journey, I came to realize that was what I wanted to do. That was not God's shape for me. God's shape for me was being a teaching pastor. I still love to win people to Christ, and the Bible says every pastor should do the work of an evangelist, but God has called me to be a teacher and a pastor teacher. And that's a biblical model and a biblical office. And you know what? It is very liberating to do what God wants you to do instead of doing what you want to do. Accept your shape. Say, yes, God, I want to be the person you've wired me, you've designed me to be, the person you've created me to be. God, I want to be that person and serve in ministry wherever you want me to serve. Then the third response follows that. Third, refocus your vision. Refocus your vision. And by that I mean, stop worrying so much about your performance. Even if we say yes to God's shape for us, we tend to evaluate our performance. We tend to look at the next person and say, look how great they are in ministry. Look how spiritual they are. But just as God has saved you by grace, God wants to work in your life by grace, put you where he wants you to be. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul, perhaps the most influential follower of Christ that's ever lived, the most influential missionary, and perhaps one of the greatest Christians that's ever lived, said this. 1 Corinthians 15:10. By God's grace, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not ineffective, that is, not null and void. However, I worked more than any of them, yet not I, but God's grace that was with me. Isn't it good news to know that when you surrender to God's shape for you in ministry, God wants to use you. God wants to work through you. God's not interested in showing how great we are. God wants to show up and show how great he is through us. Rest in God's grace. Serve in God's grace. Know that God is going to do a great work through you, his way, his timing, if you will just say, yes, God. Whatever you want, God. Whatever you want to do in my life. And I'm not trying to be great. I just want to serve God. I don't have to be great. I just want to serve God. I want to be the person God designed me to be. Don't you? And let God worry about the rest. I need to wake up every morning and remind myself, I live, breathe, and serve by the grace of Almighty God. And it's him that I serve. It's him that I'm going to be held accountable to, folks. I love you. God bless you. But he's the one that I look to every day. Because it's by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove ineffective. God works out his grace through me and through you when we surrender to him and say, God, I just want to be the person you made me to be. So maybe you're in here this morning. You've been trying to say, God, I want to do good things. You've been trying to be this particular person. Maybe today's the day you say, God, I want to be the person you designed me to be. You created me to be. As you know, last week I was traveling, returned from Africa. If you've been out of the country lately, isn't it fun getting back in? We flew back into Atlanta and went through no less than 5 security checkpoints before we could board a plane to Raleigh. Now, in every one of those 5 security checkpoints, what did every agent want to see? My passport. My favorite was the gentleman, the agent. I walked up to the desk. He picked up my passport. He turned it around, and he held it up to my face. There's a picture like that. I wasn't sure if I should smile. If they're going to verify your identity before you get to continue on the journey. God wants to remind you of your identity, wants you to surrender to him as creator so he can keep you moving on the journey. Born again believer in Christ, listen, it's good if you want to serve God. Thank God for that. But the question is, are you serving him the way you want to? Or are you surrendered to him in ministry? So let me urge you first this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and what's still resonating in your mind is the question, am I saved in the first place? I've been going to church. I've been looking good. You might even be on a committee in this church or another one, and suddenly you realize, I've been working for my salvation. I've been working to please God. I want to urge you this morning to repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ into your life to forgive you of your sins. He's waiting to do that. We're all saved the same way, by grace, through faith. Do it today. But if you're a believer in Christ and you know it, is it time to surrender to God, to His shape for you for ministry? To say, God, whatever you want in my life, I just want to serve you. And God has a place, God has a path, God has a journey for you. Accept what He says about you. Say yes to God. This is who I am. I'm who God created me to be. And watch that journey unfold that God has for you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are good and gracious, and you save us from our sins, God. You give us eternal life when we don't deserve it. God, how we praise you for that. And Father, this morning, there's maybe one or two who need to receive Jesus as their Savior, to come and accept your gracious gift of salvation by faith. I pray they would do that today. And God, there are believers in here, Father. Many of us in here, God, are searching for our shape in ministry. Father, may we begin by simply surrendering to you. By simply saying this morning, God, whatever you want of our lives, wherever you want me to serve, God, that's what I will do, Father. So if there's just one of us in here, God, who this morning realizes that we need to surrender to you, to your shape for us, your design for us, God, I pray we would do that today. Perhaps, God, there are other decisions that need to be made. Perhaps there's one, God, who needs to be baptized. Perhaps there's one who needs to join fellowship with this church. There's one, God, who needs to step out and rededicate their lives to Christ. God, whatever decision we need to make today, whatever commitment, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move in our midst in a mighty way today, that we would surrender and respond to Christ. For it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.